Svara, which is the machlokas among the Dole Achronim, whether water that's cooked on Shabbos. So when you heat water on Shabbos, the Achronim would say you're not in violation of an Issa Min HaTorah. Why is that? Because the argument is that H2O, water on the rocks, is just as good as water that's cooked. That's what the Tiferes Yisrael argues in Kapelas HaShabbos. And other Achronim also say like that. But Mishnah Berurah says no. Water that's cooked, there's a shevach. Water that's cooked is far superior to regular water. And I happen to be of that opinion. That's why I happen to like hot things. I'm also makbid to Motzei Shabbos. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Chamin Motzei Shabbos Begugmul Nefesh. To drink something hot, the Motzei Shabbos is a poultice for the soul. Whatever that means. So I'm makbid to eat bread on Motzei Shabbos and Olam Malka, right after Abdullah. I have Olam Malka, and I also drink something hot. That's my dinner. Okay. It seems that every time I encounter Chayisara, I speak about Shiduchim. And the truth of the matter is that there's a good reason to speak about Shiduchim in Parshas Chayisara. I imagine you may or may not be aware, and there was actually such a minhag. There was actually a minhag mentioned by Beit Machayis to read actually the Parsha of Chayisara. It was a minhag apparently that is not common today, but Bizman Chazal, there was such a minhag that a chassan on the day of the chassana, in the Kriyas HaTorah, assuming it was Kriyas HaTorah, he would read Parshas Chayisara, which of course is connected to the shidduch, the first shidduch of Yitzhak and Rivka. If I'm not mistaken, as I said, that this is brought by Rabbeinu Bachayim, the Parsha of HaTorah. And essentially the idea is to teach us how we have to be careful regarding marriages. Again, I assume you are aware, perhaps not to the fullest extent, but unquestionably the most important decision in a person's life is not what you think it is. Often people think the most important decision is what profession I'm going to enter, how much money I'm going to earn in the course of being in that profession. Others think that the most important decision in their life is which restaurant they're going to eat tonight at, what kind of shawarma they're going to have. Those are the critical decisions that affect your life, but ultimately, the most critical decision that a person makes in his life is whom he's going to marry. That is essentially the very epicenter of what your life is going to be all about, your very netzach, and therefore, such a matter has to be treated with all the enormity and severity that one can imagine. Oh, Shlomo, Shalom Aleichem. It's good to have Persian friends. The authentic ones, not the guy from Iran, Abdul. Okay. Chazal, as you know, have a comment, Kosher Zivuga Shalom Ki Kriyas Yamsu. That the zivug of a person is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsu. What does that mean? It means that in the same way that Hashem Yisbarach had to, in order to save Klal Yisrael, had to alter the Teva, had to change the natural course of events at Kriyas Yamsuf, so too, the finding of a shidduch is something which is essentially requires a shini of teva. That the Almighty Himself, the Chavod of Atmo, has to somehow enter the picture in order to direct traffic. It's not something which works b'derech ha-teva. And I think that you understand quite well. B'derech ha-teva, two people meet each other. Generally speaking, each one has their own persona, their own personality, their own character traits, their own individuality, their own physiognomy, and imagine trying to put them together. It's, I would say, a rather monumental, massive, gargantuan kind of task. No simple matter. And the Gemara says, Kashi Zivuvi Shalom Ki Kriyas Yamsuf. Just as Hashem changing Teva that was required in Kriyas Yamsuf is an enormous, unbelievable act, so too, Shiduchim also of a similar nature. We just, a week ago, married off a daughter. And so I can tell you, every time we marry off a child, it's amazing to me, the entire process. You're aware that there is a concept, certainly a fundamental concept of Bechira Chavshah, is everyone has free will, which means that everyone has the ability to choose, and that's what we all do. And hopefully if we choose correctly and properly and wisely, Hashem will, shall we say, give us compensation, will reward us, and if Chas V'Shalom we don't choose so wisely, then of course the results will be catastrophic, we'll be headed in shall we say, direction of Hades, which is not a great direction to be headed for. And in Shiduchim, that's not the case. Shiduchim, even though we think we have Bechira, we have no Bechira whatsoever. Hashem is directing traffic, and it's uncanny. As I said, I have a bit more experience than you do, both from a personal standpoint and from my children's standpoint. And as I said, every Shidduch, I'm just amazed. In one of the Shidduchim, in our family, my daughter's married to a young man, and this young man hails from Toronto. I live in Toronto, Canada, that is. There's a statement of Yishon, Ki Mitzio, Tetzei Torah, Udvar Hashem, Mia Toronto, a place in Italy. So that's not where I come from. But I lived in Toronto, Canada for approximately 10 years, close to 10 years. And there was a family that lived approximately a block away ahead from us. And my daughter is married to one of their sons. But of course, they didn't meet in Toronto. They both had to come to Eretz Yisrael in order for the meeting to take place. And that itself is amazing. And the entire Shidduch really is also, each Shidduch that we went through is an amazing story. And it's clear that there's no Bechira Chavshis. We think there's Bechira, but there's very little Bechira. It's really directed from on high, and also by the Shluchim of Hashem Yisbarach. We have one or two of them in the Yeshiva. The one that I call Rav Yehuda Shlita, Rav Yehuda Roblowski. He's like a snake in the field. He actually was responsible for at least one of our Shidduchim, which never would have happened in a million years. That's Menachem's brother. He happens to be a son of mine, to learn the Torah Shraga. And in a million years, this Shidduch could not have happened. Lefi, according to all the rationale, according to Lefi, Derech HaTeva, there's no way it could have happened. But between Hashem Yisbarach and his Shaliach here on earth, Rav Yehuda Roblowski, a little bit of Rabbi Reichman, Shlita, the Shidduch was, shall we say, carried through, and it's really Baruch Hashem, marvelous Shidduch. What do you say, Menachem?
Sure.
And Menachem became a relative of mine, along the way. That was also an added plus that I was over to. Anyway, as I said, often we see Shidduchim that take place from incredible distances, and how Hashem brings them together. It's uncanny, literally absolutely uncanny. The pasuk in Chayisora, which is well known, the end of Chayisora, the Torah says, Me Hashem yotza adomim. It all comes from Hashem Yisbarach. I assume you're familiar with that pasuk. Maybe you have a chumash, you can see it inside, that the Torah says, when they are approached, namely the relatives of Rivka, and asked, do they approve of the Shidduch or not? So there's a lot to say about that, but I'm not going to talk about that right now. Because the Eliezer saw the unbelievable Hatzlacha, namely in terms of what happened with Rivka and the Chesed that she displayed and all that. And they themselves finally agreed and admitted, May Hashem Yotza Adam. Lo Nuchal Daveri Lecha Ra'al Tov. Hinei Rivka L'Panecha Kach Olech. I'm reading Perach Abdalid, Pasuk Nun. Vayad Lava Mitzua Vayomu May Hashem Yotza Adam. Lo Nuchal Daveri Lecha Ra'al Tov. The Gemara says in Noikotin, that Me HaTorah, Me HaNaviyah, Me HaKsunim, it's clear that Shidduchim are all in HaShemayim, and Chazal said, the Gemara beginning of Seita, on that base points out, 40 days before Yitzias Avlad, before the conception, there's a baskol that comes down and says, Baskol L'Plomi. And this is a very clear indication that it's HaKol in HaShemayim. And the Rabbeinu B'chaye, which is one of the most beautiful Mepharshim al Torah, if you ever have a chance to learn it, I really suggest it highly. He writes here, in Pasuk HaYisora, I actually xeroxed a bit of it. He points out that people tend to look for money, people tend to look for beauty, I'll discuss that a little bit later, people tend to look for all kinds of qualities. However, the most significant quality, of course, that one should look for, what the Pasuk says, Bayis v'hom nachas avos, mi Hashem isha maskeles, the Pasuk in Mishlei Perek Yutes, clearly one wants to look for our midos, our character traits, that's the key of any marriage. Anyone who knows anything about marriage realizes that. And in the case of Eliezer, he looked for the quality of chesed. And of course she displayed chesed, the ispashlus chesed, which was, shall we say, not classic regular chesed that generally people display, but chesed way beyond what one would expect. And that's exactly why the pasuk said, the Hashem Yotza Adomer. The Vilna Gaon also has a comment in the pasuk until in Kuchav Zayin, where the pasuk says, the Ramalach says, Mashem lo yibne bayis, shav amu bono bo. Mashem doesn't build a house, those who are involved in the construction of the house are wasting their time. Says the Gom, this refers to a zibug. A zibug is binyan bayis, a building a home. And therefore people think that they are the ones who are directly orchestrating the zivug. Hakol meis Hashem. It all comes from Hashem Yisbarach. He's the one who's directing traffic from the beginning to end. And that's why we can understand Eliezer ben Avraham, that even though we see that there was a fair amount of mishtadlus on his part in the course of being the shatrin, the fact of the matter is that we see the Almighty involved from the very beginning. If you take a look at the psukim, maybe we'll just look at a few psukim. If you have a chumash, it would be helpful. At the very beginning of his trek, so the Torah says, in Perek Chavdalut, Avraham tells him that whatever you do, do not permit Yitzchak to go back there. Yitzchak has to remain here where we are. I'm reading Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Eliezer ben Avraham, Hishama lecha patashim et bnei Hishama, Hashem Elokei Hashamayim, Hashem Elokachanu bnei Sovim v'eretz moladiti, Hashem Dibeli, Hashem Ishbali leimo lezach, v'etei esoretz azos, Hu yishlach malach lefanech, v'lokach yishol lebnei Hishama. Means Hashem is going to be the one who will send the malach HaShliach, who's going to direct you, and you'll be able to find a wife, and be lo sova isha. He doesn't want to follow you, then you are free, you're no longer obligated by the Shua, but there's one Tanai, Rakis Benin Los Hashem Shammah, that he did not want Yitzhak to go there, but rather she, Rivka, should join Yitzhak over here in Eretz Yisrael. A little bit later, the Eved begins the journey, and in Perach Abdalim, Pasuk Yudbeis, Vayomar, what did the Eved say? Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, Hakreino Lepanai Hayom, what does the term Hakreino Lepanai Hayom mean? What? Make it happen, correct. The word Hakreino is a fascinating term. The first should talk a lot about it. It sounds like the language of Mikre, but as you pointed out correctly, make it happen. And again, clearly Hashem Yisbarach is involved, and of course, the way the Torah describes the Pasuk Tezvav, it's incredible. Vayihiyu terem ki lo nadaber. And literally a second later, the moment he completed the formulation of this Sinai, what happens? Rivka appears in the scene. This, of course, this passage should remind you of something that we say in the davening. Maybe you remember on the Yom HaTainis, Terem Yigra Vani Enen. The moment, literally, a person calls out to Hashem, a second later, Hashem responds, Odhem Medavrim Vani Yeshma. Here also, Terem Kilola Daber. The moment he finished speaking, presenting the Tanai, Bine Rivka Yotzeis, Rivka emerges, and the Torah describes her, and of course the Eved then goes through his, shall we say, entire scenario, and a bit later, the Torah says in Pasuk Chaval, V'yaish mishtoelo, machavish lo das, ha'atziach Hashem darkum lo. Again, you see clearly that he is absolutely astounded by what is happening. The Shidduch is beginning to unfold, and it's clear that Hashem is the one who is directing traffic. And a little bit later, you have in Pasuk Chavav, after he's invited, as it were, to the home of Rivka, and he realizes that there is a consanguinity, there are relatives here. Vayikor Ishma Yishtachol Hashem Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayomer Baruch Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham Asher Lo Azav Chasdo Vavito Vivi Adoni. Anochi Badarach Vachani Hashem Beisachei Adoni. It's clear that who directed me? Hashem is Barak. So one sees the entire way that Hashem is involved literally in the story from beginning to end. Now you are, I assume, aware that a story like this, which is so long, it's really actually divided into two segments. I don't know if you ever looked carefully. I'm very into structure. And so if you examine this story carefully, you will see there are two segments, almost of similar length in terms of the psukim, but there's a middle. Where would you say the middle of this story lies? The beginning of the Torah tells us what happened, as they call it in Hebrew, Bizman Emes, in, how do you translate it to English?
Reality,
in real time. And then Eliezer reviews the story, of course, that which occurred, and he begins with the language of Eben Avraham Anochi. Where is that pasuk found? That's really in Lamed Dalet, I believe, by Yomar Eben Avraham Anochi. And this is where you have a review of the entire story from beginning to end. And almost word for word. Of course, it's not word for word. One of the favorite pastimes is to examine the two stories and to try to compare them, all the distinctions. There are some minor distinctions. I actually once wrote a paper on this, maybe 40 years ago, on this topic that's of interest to me already for many, many years. There are a number of chilukim that are very significant, and I believe there's quite a difference between the two segments of the story, which I'm not interested in discussing right now. One thing I will tell you, which I think is very obvious, one of the major differences in the two stories is what? That in the original story, what is he called, Eliezer? He's called? What term is the term describing him? The term? Incorrect. Ha'ish. A keseder. Again and again and again, he's called Ha'ish. And the second time around, what is he called? Eved Avraham, as Rafi said. And that means examination why that's so, but I believe it does reflect on the nature of the two differences. But if you look at the story that he repeats, again here you'll see the same kind of expressions. Namely, you want to go through some of the psukim again, just to show you where Eliezer ben Avraham, when he tells over the story, let's start from the pasuk Mem, which parallels the earlier pasuk that we saw. He's telling over what Avraham formulated within the nature of the Tanai. So there you see Hashem is Baruch is involved. And then a little bit later, again, he writes what happened at the well and the whole story. And then Memches, Hashem, also parallels an earlier pasuk. Clearly Hashem is the one who is directing me. And finally they say, the pasuk I began with earlier, Hashem the pasuk Nun. And that's the pasuk quoted by the Gemara. And as you see the Eliezer be so ecstatic and so astounded by the events that have occurred that clearly he ascribes everything to Hashem is Baruch. To such an extent, where Chazal Kamei Rashi quotes it, in Perek Abdali, pasuk Mem Beis. Says, so Rashi has a famous comment. What does Rashi say? Hayom yatsasi, vayom basi. What was Eliezer zochet to? Kvitsa saderach. Somehow he had this unbelievable kvitsa saderach. Today he left, and today he came. That's what Rashi has a famous comment. Yafasi chasen shal abdi yafas anam boko, bitarasen shal bonim. We have a parsha that has so many psukim repeated again and again and again, and there are many dinim in the Torah that barely get any kind of mention. And yet here we have psukim after psukim after psukim, sichasan shalav the avos. And I would like to suggest that when the Rashi says yafes sichasan, the word sicha specifically refers to tefillah. How do I know that? From a pasuk at the beginning of Bereishis, I assume you're familiar with, in Perek Beis, right, correct? And Rashi actually mentions it. Look in Perek Beis of Bereishis if you have a chumash in front of you. Perek Beis pasuk K. There the Torah says, V'chol siyach hasodeh, terem yev aretz, literally refers to the trees in the field. But Rashi and Chazal understand this word as perhaps referring to tefillah. The pasuk says, V'chol siyach hasodeh, terem yev aretz, V'chol eishem hasodeh, terem yitzvah. Nothing had grown yet. Why? Because Hashem had not yet brought rain. Kilo hitir Hashem elokim adam ala aretz, v'yadam ayim la'avodas adam. So Rashi has a famous explanation. Why did Hashem bring rain yet on the earth? The answer is, the end of the pasuk. Because there was no man to work the field. What does that mean? Says Rashi. There was no one to be makrito. There was no one to be grateful to Hashem for the rain that he would bring. Once a person came on the scene and realized that rain obviously is something which is fundamental, then Adam Arishon David to Hashem is brought for rain. And then, of course, the trees began to sprout and began to grow. So you see from Rashi that the word siach perhaps is related to what? To tefillah. The whole siach hasod. By the way, how do I know that's true? Of course, from Parashat Chayisar. At the end of Chayisar, the Torah says, "Vayetze Yitzchok, v'suach hasod." The Gemara in Brachos in the fourth parak, "Vein sicha ela tefillah." So the word siach refers to tefillah. Rashi quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, "Lefnei Hashem yishbok sicha." So this is really an introduction to the whole concept of shiduchim, namely that anyone who thinks that they can go ahead and effect a shidduch by themselves without the intervention of Hashem Yisbarach is sadly mistaken. And as I said, for the fundamental reason that I mentioned earlier, let me just finish one point, and that is that we're talking about two personalities who converge, who come together, often antithetical, And it's amazing, beyond belief, that it's possible for the two somehow to come together and effect some sort of rapprochement that is marriage, and it can actually work. I just want to, before you say what you want to say, I want to mention Chazal saying, what tefillah did Yitzchak daven? Tefillah of Mincha. And the Gemara says in Brachos also that this is a well-known Chazal, that Eliyahu HaNavi, as you know by Har Carmel, that the tefillah of Mincha is very, very powerful. A person is answered, his tefillahs are answered, tefillahs Mincha especially, is incredibly powerful tefillah. Rashi quotes at the end of Chayisar as well, on the pasuk of Vateres Yitzchak, so Rashi says, she saw him, Hodur, she saw Yitzchak, Rivka. When Rivka aspired Yitzchak, she was so taken by him, that very famous tzitzit that I often talk about. But the fact of the matter is that the Chazal, the Gemara Chagiga, also say, Magid l'odam ha-secho, afilu sichel kalam v'nish l'ishto, magid l'odam ha-shasadim. But my point is that perhaps when Rashi says here, Yofe sichas avde ovos, l'vnei ha-kadosh baruch hu, the sicha of the avodim, is more dear to Hashem than all the Torah, perhaps Rashi is referring to, what do we mean when we say sichas avde ovos? The tzfilah of Eliezer. I mean, since the entire, shall we say, search for a wife is bound up with tefillah and tziyata d'shmaya, that's what the Gemara says in Vayikot, Yitches, Me'a Torah, Me'a Nebiyim, Me'a Ksubit. And that's what the Gemara says in Brachas, Al Zosi is fellow called Chassid Eis Mitzo, a Chassid has to daven, Leis Mitzo Zu Isha. And Rashi also points out here that Yitzchak was Zocher to Rivka, and as a result of unbelievable Nisim, Fitsa Derech, and Rashi I think says in, I'm not mistaken, on the pasuk by Yisapar Hevel Yitzchak, it's called Advarim Asher Asa. So Rashi says, if I'm not mistaken, Shenizdamu lo Rivka b'tfilasa, that his tefillahs were answered. So tefillah is critical when it comes to Shidduch. I want to mention one more thing. The Bris Kerov is a famous diuk that the Briskers are very fond of. Va'ava hayom elohoyim. That part of the deal was that everything should take place and should be finished when? Before Shkiyas Achama. And that's exactly what happened. It's very Maduric in the Pesukim. I have no time now to play around with this. But the Bris Kerov has a famous deal in the Chidush Agriz. Va'ava hayom elohoyim. That was the deal. Everything should be finished before Shkiyas Achama. And it was. Okay, stop.
If you can't deviate from the path that Hashem said predefined or should have been, why are there divorces?
That question is a very good question, which needs attention based on the Gemara Tzaita. But I can't discuss it, I'll make a lot. And I, if you want, maybe you and I will have a little chavusa. Is that possible?
Yeah.
And we'll learn the Gemara Tzaita that base. And you'll see the Gemara is dealing with that issue. We should talk about that issue. It's a very fundamental issue. If everything is Hashem Yatzah Tavar, so obviously there still has to be some Bechira. You can't say there's no Bechira whatsoever. But overall, unquestionably, generally Shidduchim are really, to a large extent, Hashem is Baruch is the one who really is behind it. Now I want to talk about, as I said, I'm going to talk a little bit about Shidduchim. I come from a different era than probably most of you do. That's the understatement of the year. And so I will share with you my own thoughts on the matter. And I'll begin by just pointing out that Avraham Avinu knew exactly what he was looking for. It's very clear. The Torah tells us that he was looking for someone who is a balas chesed par excellence, even though he could have gone to Aner Eshkol Mamre. Aner Eshkol Mamre were Bali Bris Avraham. The Torah describes them as his, somehow he had consummated a pact with them, and they were chassidim v'sa'olam, so why didn't he go ahead and marry their daughters? So the answer is that Avraham Avinu felt that he had to find someone who was, as I said, a balas chesed par excellence, and otherwise he could not go ahead and build Knesset Yisrael and find a wife for Yitzchak. Now often, many people think, and this someone just told us to me recently, that he went out with a girl, and the girl's a wonderful girl, but he said, how could I marry the first girl I go out with? It's not possible. I said, what's the problem? On the contrary, you have a bracha from Hashem Yisbarach. He said, what? The first girl? It can't be. It's not possible. And guess what? He decided to drop her. What is his status? I'll be aloha. Shaita Goma B'chaladeh. A wonderful girl. Mamish, a wonderful girl. I even met her. He had me meet her, and I couldn't exactly see what the problem was, but he had in his head, how could I marry the first girl? Clearly there have to be better girls. It can't be that the first girl, Hashem is Barak, somehow directed me to my zivuk. If a person knows exactly what he's looking for, then instead of spending your days shopping, put that in quotes, because many people go shopping. As a matter of fact, today it's common, and you may find this to be amazing. Fact, you don't find it to be amazing. They claim that they have Askama, one or two Rosh Yeshiva, I won't mention their names. People go out with two girls at the same time. I find that to be unconscionable. I find that to be, as far as I'm concerned, I think it's probably Asr Meikra Adin. You'll ask me what the Isur is. I will provide for you some Isur if you wish. But I find that to be absolutely unconscionable. Well, what do you say, Jacob?
I don't like it.
Why?
It's
B'nei Vazdas. It's a lack of Deracheres. And how? So I asked the person who's going out with two girls at the same time, right now, how possibly do you do this? So he told me, what do you mean, Rabbi? I'm doing comparison shopping. Well, I'll tell you what I wanted to do to him, but I didn't do it because it's Isur L'Sirtzach. So it's not permitted to hit people or to do anything like that. And I'm also a very friendly type of fella. So, unbelievable.
But it's also very expensive.
That's also true. What David says is 100% correct. Avraham knew exactly what he wanted. And before a person gets married, you have to have a pretty good sense of what they're looking for. I'll just tell you something else. And this I hear quite often. People go out. I'm not saying that you have to accept, as I said, my understanding of things. But I will tell you that someone told me, not long ago as well, goes out with a girl. And he told me, he went out with her actually a number of times. Approximately 12, to be precise. And then he decided she's not for him. What's the problem? She's not intellectual enough. She's lacking in intellectual acuity that he possesses, of course, at a very high level. I'm being a little bit cynical. But, so I could not fully understand that. I said, what's the problem? You want to marry a chavrusa? Is that what you're marrying? I don't think a wife is a chavrusa. There's nothing wrong with learning chavrusa with your wife. I actually, when I got married, we learned all Tanakh together. My wife learned much better than I did, because she learned Tanakh. And I never really learned Tanakh. It's not true, I did learn Tanakh. From Bar Basa, from Tzia, from Dushin. There were so many captain there. I realized there must be some Tanakh somewhere. And then I discovered it after marriage. But that's not what you're marrying. You're not marrying a chavrusa. People think they're marrying a chavrusa. Even though, as I said, there's nothing wrong with learning chavrusa with your wife, whatever you do. They say, Abis Chaim Zinnenfeld, from the Dali Yerushalayim, when he got married, he learned Shulchan Aruch with his wife, which is not a bad thing as well. And someone else told me, I can't continue with this girl, she's too simple. I said, what does that mean? Was she related to Simple Simon or something? The other one told me, she's too quiet, which is not always a chesara. People have these very fascinating things in their heads. And there's a young man who told me that, just in terms of she's too quiet, this young man told me that his wife is, she's quite, how shall I say?
Precarious.
She's quite verbose, and literally, you can't get a word in edgewise. He told me he realized that after marriage. And so he didn't know what to do. So that's because of that reason, somehow his wife is a very overpowering kind of person, very domineering type of personality, and she's has to be a very bright girl, a very fine person too, but she's very, somehow always feels the need to take the center stage. And sometimes I have difficulty with that, but sometimes you meet a girl who's a bit more quiet. Often someone else told me they thought that their wife was quiet before they got married. And after they got married, they realized they married the mouse that dwarf. That's how they described it to me. Whatever the case is, I think many of these ideas are really not necessarily chesronos, and you have to really look for the following according to my humble opinion, on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is midos, and 2 is midos, and 3 is midos, and 4 is midos, and 5 is midos, and 6 to 10 are also midos. And anything else is a virtue. If the girl happens to be attractive, of course you should be attracted to her. girl's not attracted to you and you're not attracted to her, obviously you should not pursue the matter. You should clearly leave it. Of course the girl has to be attracted. That is not the ikar of marriage. The Gemara says, Golanosa Isha, another area that people look for is money. Golanosa Isha, the Shem Mamma, the Gemara Kedushin, Abu Ghadim, Shem Mugadim. So it's not, money is a good thing. If you marry into wealth, why not? Can't hurt. But that's not what you should look for. Primarily, a person has to look for good character. That's the key. And we're talking about chesed primarily, which is really the main issue that one should be pursuing. Now, another thing I will say is that we're living in a generation where, unfortunately, there's a lot of shalom bias issues that I deal with almost on an ongoing kind of basis. And sometimes people go out for literally months and months and months at a time, which is also totally unnecessary. You have to make up your mind. People have to make decisions. You go out with a girl for, I don't know how many times, there's no halacha moshim b'sinai, how many times you have to go out with her. Someone just asked me the other day, is it 7 times, is it 9 times? I'm looking, I can't find any indication how many times you're supposed to go out with her. 9 times are necessary. But you don't have to go for a period of 9 months. And the guy goes out with a girl, this guy told me, he went out with a girl 9 months. How many times did he go out with her? He told me 72 times in 9 months. And among them, there were several power dates. You know what a power date is? You go out with a girl for 12 hours. What in heaven's name did you do for 12 hours? Discussing the Shem Shmaitza, I'm not sure. What did you do for 12 hours? And all this is that people don't realize the amount of time they waste. And then also, a lot of time is wasted on the telephone as well. A lot of bittul zman goes into shidduchim. The chaval. And I'm not saying maybe I was a mazel dick in my life. I didn't go out with too many girls, to be quite honest. I won't tell you how many. Pretty quickly I met one that I felt met the bill. And I married her, Baruch Hashem. And 37 years later, we continued to be married, Baruch Hashem. Amen, Yasim Shana. I just want to share with you a Rashi that always I felt says a lot. There's a Rashi in Chumash in Kiseitze. I spoke about this Rashi a number of times with Shema Brothers, but I think there's a longish aspect of this Rashi. The Torah says when you marry someone, Basima Hasishma Shaloka. It's supposed to be Misameach your wife. I think I did tell the story here. I'll tell it again before I get to chat on this Rashi. I mentioned this a number of times. I saw this, I think maybe even a week or two ago. I'll say it again. I heard this from my Rebbe, Rasal Vejik, Zuchem Nibracha. He once asked in Shir, a young man, what the pasuk means in Mishpatim, She'era Ksusla Vainasa La Yigra. That you're supposed to provide your wife with She'era, which Chazal, okay, you want Ksusla, says the Machlok is about these things, but the simple pshat is, She'era refers to food, you have to provide with food, Ksusla with clothing, Vainasa, Anasa refers to what? According to Chazal, Anasa refers to Ayin Vav Nun Tafei, conjugal relations. That's a chiyuv. It's actually the one who is obligated to provide it is the husband, and the one who's in charge is really the wife. Not what many husbands think. They think kum faker, and many husbands think that's the ikra of marriage, not the ikra of marriage, I hate to tell you. Whatever the case is, Rasul Lechi asked the boy in the shir, what is the word ona mean? What does einasa mean? The boy was embarrassed. At that time, he was still conscious of embarrassment. Forget about it. Went out the window a long time ago. And the boy didn't want to say, the boy happened to be a Brahmin of Shiva, and he didn't want to say what it is. And finally, the Rav said, tell me the Pshuta Shal Mikra. I'm asking you what the Pashup Shad is. And the answer to the Pashup Shad is to spend time with your wife. What does it mean to spend time with your wife? To talk to her, to speak to her, to take her out, go to a restaurant, one of those that were recommended this morning. And that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is, oh no, to spend time with her. I told a similar story that I heard in the name of Rav Moshe Shizgal, that's how the son-in-law of Rav Moshe Feinstein, this I heard from a Balabas in St. Louis, his name is Alan Green, and the father of the Bracha, he passed away about a year and a half ago, was an outstanding person. I used to dive next to the Yehudis of St. Louis, I got to know him very well, he was a big London too. He learned in Muncie, in Israel Shelio. So his Rebbe is Rav Moshe Shizgal, son-in-law of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who passed away at a very young age. So Rav Moshe Shizgal used to invite his Talmidim, used to come to his house, on Matzoy Shabbos, with Av Malka. The fourth Matzoy Shabbos, they came to his house, so his wife came into the room where they were sitting, the living room, and she said, Morris! She said to him, you promised me to go to the movies once a month. So Rabbi Shizgal, Zechen Lebracha, didn't bat an eyelash. She told the Talmidim, yes, they quickly slunk out of the room. They were very embarrassed. And the next morning, when he came back to Shir, he told them that it's a pasuk in Chumash. She'era, Susa, Vainasa, let you go. I have to spend time with my wife. That's the truth of the Miku, the Pasuk. So now I'm coming back to this, which I haven't said before, and that is the Pasuk in Kishay said. The Torah says that a husband is obligated to be Mesamech his wife. Besimach es ishto ashevokach. So there's a Targum in that Pasuk, and Rashi quotes the Targum, and Rashi quotes the Targum as saying, V'yichadei yos itza, which means, Mesamech es ishtocha. You're supposed to be Mesamech your wife. Says Rashi, someone who translates the pasuk, you should be sameach with your wife, is making a mistake. Change that targum shel v'simach elo v'somach. If the pasuk had said v'somach, what would that mean? That you should be happy with your wife. But it says v'simach, and v'simach means be sameach your wife. What does Rashi mean? So I have on occasion discussed this Rashi in light of the Mechas Minoch. Who's the Bailam and Simcha? Who's the Bailam on this mitzvah of Simcha? Who's in control? That is to say, can he be Mochel? Or she's the one who's in control? And he can't be Mochel. The answer is, she's in control. He can't be Mochel. That's the question. It's a subject of Mechil Olam. That's a halachic issue. But I believe that the Pshat and Rashi is to be understood differently. A person gets married and thinks that who has to be the Simcha? Oh, I have to be the Simcha. I have to be happy. She has to make me happy. When I come home, the food better be to my liking. Luckily, we changed caterers recently. Baruch Hashem. Quite a, I would say, it's remarkable. We went to Akotze. I shouldn't say that. It's not very polite. The other food was not too bad, according to my humble opinion. But people here told me I'm bigger the key than I am. The food that it left something to be desired. But Akotze. So a person goes home, he thinks that food has to be on the table. And obviously, the environment should be perfect for his wife should be, shall we say, ready to serve it. She should be at his beck and call. That's how very often many people think. And the like. That's not what the Torah says. The Torah says that would be the translation of which word? Besomach. But that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says besimach. Not what I like. Not my hano. Not my tamugim. But rather, I am obligated to be besamecha. That is the ikar mitzvah of what marriage is all about. And that's something that husbands often don't realize. Even good husbands don't understand the obligation of the simach asishu ha-shalotach. I think I mentioned also, I heard from Chaim Shulevitz in 1971, I saw a shmuzit in Eretz Yisrael, and he once gave a shmuz, he told the following story. He said that he was talking about relations between husbands and wives, and he quoted a story that once the Rosh Hashiva, the Mir Yeshiva, Rabbi Eliezer Yehuda Finkel Zatzal, he had to borrow a large sum of money for the yeshiva, and he borrowed it during the Aseret Yom period. And then Erev Kippur, which maybe a few days later, the Malva came and said, pay up! Because the Gemara says in Ksubis, Piron Chol Mitzvah, you're supposed to pay up your debts. So he said, I'm a lesson of people, what's going on here? First of all, the Gemara says, Tam Halvah, Shol Shem Yom. When you borrow money, you usually have 30 days. And secondly, why are you coming and telling me, Piron Chol Mitzvah, who's supposed to recognize that? The Lomet, the one who borrows the money, not you. You're the Malva. So everything is upside down, topsy-turvy. So Chaim Shulevitz said, that's what happens often in marriages that are not, shall we say, well-founded or well-grounded. The wife says to her husband, you're supposed to be mechavid me, you're supposed to honor me, you're supposed to take care of me. And what does the husband say? He quotes another chazal, Ein ishak sheir elam yishayisim tzayim bala. A good wife is someone who carries out whatever her husband wants. Now, instead of he recognizing his obligations, she recognizes her obligations, each one is citing the other's obligations. And that's exactly what I'm saying over here, that one has to be cognizant of my obligation. And if each one is cognizant of their obligation, trust me, there will be much greater simcha. The person has to recognize the chashivas of his wife and has to realize that his obligation is to be mesameach her and not vice versa. There's a Rambam who writes, the person has to be very careful with the covenant of his wife. And often, as I said, people don't recognize it. Someone told me that the first week of marriage in Sherebachus, they told me they got very angry at their wife. I was using a kala during Sherebachus. And they screamed at her, and all of a sudden she started crying. She just basically started bawling unbelievably, and he couldn't understand what she's crying about. He knows that with his chavrusa, he can scream at his chavrusa. Chavrusa screams back at him, and it's great! And they fight it out, whether verbal fisticuffs or even physical fisticuffs, and everything matters is resolved in a matter of a short time. By the way, it doesn't work that way with women. If two women have a chavusa, and the chavusa does not work out, you need six psychiatrists and seven therapists in order to resolve it. I say, because that's the nature of women. Nashim Rakshani, I'll say, Chazal say, I don't say it has a strong to be disparaging to women, God forbid, but they have a certain sensitivity, and one has to be sensitive, and this guy who's married already, maybe 5 years, has yet to recover from that occasion of the first week of Shavuot. Yeah?
How does what
the
Rashi is that says, only you should spend time with your wife, how does that go with Pirkei Avos and says that you're not supposed to speak so much with your wife?
The answer is, when the Pirkei Avos says, Al Tav Resichel Ba'isha, and it says, Ba'isha Amu Kamuchem Meshes Chavero, Yikana Mechachem Kamamah Resichel Ba'isha, that's the Mishnah you're quoting. So that Mishnah, first of all, refers to Sicha. What does Sicha mean? So even though I interpreted it in the very beginning, Sicha is referring to Tefillah, that's not the context. The Mepharshim point out, Sicha means conversation, which essentially is,
idle.
What?
Idle.
Correct.
Idle chatter.
Idle chatter. Silly, foolish chatter. But when one talks to one's wife, to be mesameach her, to shmooze with her, to actually discuss what happened during the day, and to talk about things in general, you are kind of a mitzvah, a very significant mitzvah of a simach hasishto hashemoka. A mitzvah that you should not, your wife is your best friend, vi chaber techa ve'eshes b'isecha. The pasuk says, you know, the Gemara at the end of the second paragraph of Sanhedrin, also the Gemara at the end of Gittin, kala megarish ishto v'shenem is back, mayor of the most, and the Gemara quotes this pasuk, that the Navi says, this is dialectic when it comes to marriage. She's both Eishet B'Secha, you have a covenant, you have a commitment, a contract with her, and she's Chaver Tuchel, your closest Chaver. The way the Rambam defines Chaver, you have a rabbi who's teaching Pirkei Avos, so Kinei Lecha Chaver. And the Rambam there described different types of Chaveres. This is one of the Rav Soloveitchik's favorite drashas by Sheva Brachos. I couldn't write it in the Sefer because it's already published and written many, many times. Namely, Chaver the daiga, chaver the simcha, someone that you talk to, that you share your worries with, your anxieties with, your stresses with, your moments of happiness with. That's what a person should do with his wife. She's your closest chaver. And that sicha is not what the Mishnah figure out what we're talking about. That's idle chatter, silly chatter, frivolous chatter, and the like. But any other kind of conversation which is chaver the daiga and the like, that on the contrary, that's what a person should be involved in. And unquestionably, the mitzvah of being mesameach one's wife largely involves speaking to her, talking to her. Last night, actually, my wife, who every once in a while, she likes to see her husband here and there, which is not a very common element, since I'm constantly busy. So my wife actually came to Shalayim, and it was already late last night. And she told me, it was must have been 9:30, 10 o'clock, she said, let's go out to eat. Which is very rare in my life. I take my wife out once a year, on her anniversary. But she decided she wants to go out. And I was actually very tired last night. I had not slept. The previous night I slept there for 3 hours, which is a bit less than what I usually sleep. And I didn't really have any cheshek for it. I saw my wife really wanted to go out. And so I went with her. My wife took me to some restaurant in Beit HaKerem called Maxine. I don't even have a clue. And then when she, and we spent actually probably 2 hours there. And I had a chance to talk to my wife. Which is really, we do talk to each other, don't get more impression, Baruch Hashem, because I believe in this, what I'm selling to you. And but really, you know, sometimes when you are, and I actually did not take any cell phones, even though during those 2 hours, 11 people called. And one called me with a very serious shayla in Halacha. I got back to him at 1:10 a.m. Because it was very serious. He was waiting for me to call him back. But I just couldn't call until then. But it's really a tremendous, unbelievable, in terms of dialogue that one should have with one's wife, there's no question that's the ultimate key in the Sima Chasish HaShalom. But in terms of what you're looking for, I said it's beautiful to have a wife who is intellectually inclined, if that's what you like, but it's not a chavrusa. It's beautiful to have a wife who happens to have, shall we say, some peculiar possessions behind her in a family. Money never hurts. It's beautiful to have a wife who has many, many other qualities, Baruch Hashem, attractive and pretty as she should be to you. But ultimately, what one looks for is midos. Because character is the yesod of marriage. And marriage, as you know, has many, many moments of crises, and moments of difficulties, and moments of challenges. And that's when you really see what a person is all about. As Chazal say, other bikar, bikiso, bikoso, or bikaso. I was not Muslim. A person is recognizable. Bikiso means, is he a tightwad? Is he willing to spend money? Avraham Lichtenstein, Marina Rabbeinu, Sheyarach Yomer, Yomel. He's got a Tariq Hussein and have a poor Shlema as well. So he used to tell me, the key of stock is when you feel the pinch in the pocket. Until you feel that pinch, there's no key of stock. So Bikiso, next Bikoso, how a person handles his liquor. How you drink, in my shul, I have wonderful balabatim, you go to someone's offer, they go through 7 bottles of liquor. 7 bottles of liquor. And Baruch Hashem, some of them are able to handle it, others have other interesting kind of reactions and responses. And Bikoso, does the person get angry? When something annoys me, or when someone annoys me, how do I react? So often people react with anger. That's what you have to be very careful about. In marriage, that's the most important thing that you should try to control. All of us have anger here and there. And that's something that has to be completely under control. Men have much more anger than women. And women have to actually, I tell them, women, I teach women as well, for many, many years, that's what they have to look for. A guy who is, shall we say, without kas. Even though it's almost impossible to be without kas. But it can be controlled, it can be disciplined. But the key is, when a man looks for a shidduch, is the personality, the character traits, especially the area of chesed, midos, of course, snius. Of course, you want a wife who's also going to be Machshir Torah, and she'll appreciate the fact that you're learning, and you'll continue to learn, she'll support you, she'll also dump a pot of water on you if you don't go to minyan in the morning, things of that sort, hopefully hot water. I'm just joking. But that's what you need. But ultimately, the key is, of course, character, chesed, midos, that's what you have to look for. So I'm just sharing with you my own general positions on the matter. I have a lot more to say about the topic. I'm just speaking since the Chayisar. I thought it would be Kedai just to share a few alibi that all of us sitting in this room, not myself, but all of you, it's not lesson over here, who's already married, but alibi, all of us, all of you, should be Zochem, Yitz Hashem, to look for the right character traits in marriage. And Yitz Hashem, Siyad Dishmaya, you have to understand, you have to daven for it as well. Tefillah is a very significant aspect of marriage. And alibi, Siyad Dishmaya, you should find the right thing. Nice. Yeah.